$1,000. Now, text the keyword LUCK to 200-200. You'll get a text confirming entry plus iHeartRadio info. Standard data and message rates apply. That's LUCK to 200-200.
710 WOR.
Now more.
Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning.
On 710 WOR.
It's Wednesday already. Hi, everyone. Good morning. Happy Wednesday, the 11th. It will get up in the 50s this afternoon, 70s by the weekend.
Cold this morning, though, I thought.
Again.
Freezing when I got up this morning.
Yeah, but it'll warm up later.
And then it's going to get cold again.
Yeah, whatever. I don't think it's going to snow again, do you?
I hope not. I don't think snow's in the forecast, but I would like a little sun at some point. That would be nice.
Yeah, it came out a little bit yesterday. It felt good. Southern State Parkway. I mean, that exit. The same exit. I mean, the exit where the bus at the overpass was going eastbound. Well, this morning, all westbound lanes at the same exit, exit 18, subject to closure. There was an overturned vehicle there, as Bernie Vider has been talking about this morning. Yeah. So that same exit. So that Southern State Parkway has been the nightmare
road
this week. So let's see. Mueller is still special counsel, right?
Mueller is still special
counsel.
He's still special counsel, okay. But it appears that, according to your favorite spokesperson, Sarah Sanders Huckabee, the president believes he has the right to fire Mueller, which technically probably is not correct.
Is that not correct?
He's got to find someone in the Justice Department.
Let's see what she says. Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
The president believe he has the power to fire Special Counsel Robert Mueller. Does he believe that's within his power?
Certainly believes he has the power to do so.
He has the power. He's the president.
He's got to find someone in the Justice Department to do it for him.
Right.
Which complicates matters. But I think, actually, yesterday we were saying, we both said Trump is going to fire Mueller, but I think he's probably showing a little restraint, which is unusual for him.
Well, you know, the word is, the Times is reporting that he's thinking about firing Rod Rosenstein as the assistant attorney general, and that's the domino effect. That's like the Saturday Night Massacre.
Yep.
First you go after the assistant attorney general, then he's recused himself, Jeff Sessions, but that's the same dynamic. The assistant attorney general gets fired, he comes in, he fires Mueller. So I don't know if those dominoes are about to happen.
What we do know, and the larger point, though, Len, is we are not talking here about Russian collusion. We are talking about two women, Stormy Daniels and the Playboy centerfold who had the affair with Trump, and the possibility that money was paid to them so that they wouldn't come forward with their stories, and that could be an illegal campaign contribution. Now, how many past candidates and presidents have tripped up on campaign finance laws? What happens? You pay a fine. It goes on. You don't have a special counsel investigating. I mean, Mueller thinks he's Gary Cooper in High Noon, and Trump is the villain there, Frank Miller.
Can you come up with new material? I mean, you said all this yesterday. I mean, yes.
I thought the Gary Cooper reference was good.
If you think it's
he
good.
He thinks he's the white knight, and he's going to go out, and he's going to go after this horrible, disgusting man that we elected to the White House.
You talking about Mueller?
Mueller, yes, Mueller does.
Mueller handed that off to the Southern District of New York.
He found it, and then he said, "Hey, use this and go after him your way, and I'll try to go after him my way."
And you see
the New York Times, the editorial today.
They're coming for him.
The law is coming for you, Mr. You have associated with goons and thugs and criminals your whole life.
You know what the big issue is, though?
The big issue is he was elected president, and there are a lot of people who cannot accept that, and they want to overturn the will of the people.
No, the big issue, Joe Bartlett, is it Rob Rosenstein or Rosenstein? Now, let's listen to Chuck Schumer first.
I'd like to make something crystal clear to the president. Mr. President, any attempt to remove Rod Rosenstein will create the exact same constitutional crisis as if you fired Special Counsel Mueller.
Well, you said he pronounced it Steen.
He did.
Well, he did it Stein there.
You say potato, and I say potato. You say Steen, and I say Stein.
What's your verdict?
Well, I don't know.
Tomato.
You tell me.
Okay, let's listen.
Good morning, I'm Rod Rosenstein.
Okay, he's a Stein.
He's a Stein.
All right.
Mark that down, everyone. Stein. Here we go. We found a definitive proof.
Good morning, I'm Rod Rosenstein.
There you go.
All right, good.
I don't know if that's the Rob Rosenstein.
No, I've heard it pronounced both ways.
No, I have to. Yeah, okay. Everyone. Well, you know, it's
how
like,
does it work? I mean, you choose which way you want it, Stein or Steen, or is it E-I-I-E?
What are you looking at me? Because you assume he's Jewish and I'm Jewish?
You probably know more about it than me.
I don't know.
Is it Berman or Bermain?
Is it Van Wyck or Van Wyck?
Van Wyck.
Well, I'm not sure of that. We get calls all the time. It's named after the mayor who was named Van Wyck. I don't know.
Is it Riedel or Riedel? That's what I get all the time.
Well, oh, no one cares about that one.
Riedel.
I do. Riedel High, Greece. Everyone thinks it's Riedel.
All right. So I'm glad we settled that one, Len. Thank you.
That's it. Yeah.
Well, Stein. That's what I'm here for.
Good morning. I'm Rod Rosenstein.
There you go.
Len doesn't want to talk about it now because he knows there's no Russian collusion.
Oh,
he knows
boy.
They're now going to try to
we
get it because
know.
He gave $100,000 to some porn star, and that's why they're going to try to bring down the president. Ridiculous.
It is kind of crazy that this whole thing is focused on paying off women. You know, should he not be president because of that? You want to impeach him because of that?
We had a president who was accused of rape, Bill Clinton.
Who?
Cohen. I got Rosenstein and Rosenstein
you know
on my
mind. Country we're living in?
Bill Cohen.
Clinton doesn't look Jewish. Let me just tell you.
The Old Testament.
if all they're going after are these payments and it may be an election campaign, that you're not impeaching a president over that. So you just have to ask yourself, do you stage a raid like this just based on going after the two women? I don't know. You don't think there's more? I don't know.
I mean, there's more
to it.
There may have been some improper in-kind contributions that
campaign finance weren't
reported that off the books. All right, fine. So you want to impeach him?
No.
Okay.
No, you don't want to impeach him. Absolutely. Right.
But I will tell you who wants to impeach him. The Democrats, and this is being teed up, so if the Democrats gain control of the House of Representatives in the fall, and there's evidence of campaign finance irregularities and hush money, the Democrats, mark my words, will move to impeachment because it will gin up their base. That is what's happening.
It's going to backfire, though.
Well, I don't think
there's going to be a backlash. If that's all this is, if there's no Russian collusion, and what we're focusing on is payments to women that he had affairs with.
Right. The thing I'm just waiting for is the end game. Does Mueller put out a report? Does he give a news? I doubt he gives a
news
conference.
He drags
it out. It's just a report, right?
He drags it out through the midterm elections.
Oh, it's going to go past the midterm.
Yes, he moves at his own pace.
Or he comes out with his report just like Comey did right before the election.
Yeah, but he's got to have some meat in that report, or else why justify his own existence? And, of course, if he has some meat in there, the Republicans are going to say it's totally biased, it was rigged, the FBI was out to get him, and all that kind of stuff.
Welcome to politics, Len.
Yeah, either way it goes. So I'm just curious what the end game is here. So leading off the big three, Mueller has not been fired yet, but the White House claims they have the right to do so. And no attack yet on Syria either. There was a report earlier, I guess an Associated Press report, that we were canoodling with the UK and France trying to figure something out, right?
Canoodling?
Well, you know.
Canoodling? You would use that expression to talk about launching an attack on Syria?
Politics?
Canoodling?
Yeah, you know politics makes strange bedfellows.
Well, so. I guess we know that Trump is a known canoodler.
Anyway, so they're confabbing or whatever you want to say. But who knows? We will be talking to a terrific ABC reporter, Tom Rivers, who's based overseas. We'll get his report on what's going on with Syria in a few minutes. Also in the Big Three. Did you guys watch this? We glued to the sets. Bartlett, Mark Zuckerberg's marathon Senate session yesterday, and he'll do it all over again in the House today. Anybody watch it?
I did.
Anybody?
Watch it. I did.
Oh, you did?
I did. It was hilarious because.
Hilarious?
I thought these senators who are so old and out of touch. I mean, Chuck Grassley, the guy uses a tin can phone to communicate. And Orrin Hatch is there. You know, Orrin Hatch, who still delivers messages via Western Union, is like, how do you make money on Facebook? And Zuckerberg looks like, ads?
Well, let's
these
see.
These guys have no clue.
Okay, wait a second.
How do you sustain a business model in which users don't pay for your service?
What? Senator, we run ads.
Senator Hatch, you have a telegram from Western Union.
Oh. Candygram for Hatch.
I mean, Zuckerberg's got to be sitting there thinking, how did I wind up here in Jurassic Park?
But that was a classic response.
That's it. I mean, these guys are so out of it. It's hilarious. I thought Zuckerberg, who I'm, you know, no fan of, and it is hard to swallow that we're basically in the control of a 17-year-old who sits on a booster seat in front of Congress. But I thought he handled himself pretty well in front of these guys.
Yeah, well, he was well rehearsed.
Yeah, well, he was. They said he did rehearsals. Yeah. Rounding out the big three, the mayor says, well, he sounds like Jeff Sessions. I don't recall. Is that Jeff Sessions or Mayor de Blasio? Says, I don't recall a secret meeting with lobbyists. He says everything he did with people who gave donations and lobbyists and contributors, all perfectly kosher.
Ah, well, we shall see. But I guess he got off. There was an investigation that acquitted him, so he seems to be wiggling away from this.
He's not been charged with any crimes.
Nope. No crimes.
Nope.
Innocent until proven innocent.
Nothing to see here.
Nothing to see. coming up at 7:30, my personal Mets seats. How about those Mets?
Wow.
Never in their history have they been 9-1.
You went to bed last night thinking they'd lost the game.
Yeah. I'm a ye of little faith. You know, I saw Miami took the lead. Yep. I said, all right, you can't win them all. DeGrom was not as sharp as he usually is. I said, okay, so they'll lose one. They're allowed to lose a game. Well, right now, what is this, their fourth series of the season or fifth? They've won every series they've played.
Well,
this is their fourth series.
The first road trip, and they've won every game.
Every game on this road trip. Yeah. They've won 7 in a row. They have the best record in franchises. You know, they and the Red Sox are both 9-1.
Hey, 1986, huh?
1986.
Yeah, there we go.
Gets by Buckner. So it does.
Now, they were playing Miami, and Miami isn't very good.
They're not. As you well know, Michael Riedel, Miami's not very good.
Yeah, listen, I've been reading the crib sheet here, but you call me out on it.
How about Giancarlo Stanton striking out two more times? You know, in 11 games, he's on a pace to strike out 300 times. He struck out twice. He struck out 22 times now in 11 games.
It's just some opening day jitters.
There you go.
Opening day jitters. How many weeks into the season?
At 8:30, we will have the turning point. Wow, this one's a toughie. A chance for you to win some more tickets. So this is your Mets station. Josh Lewin will join us at 9:40, one of our great Mets announcers here on 710.
And at 7:30, you give away your tickets.
My personal tickets, yeah.
To the Mets.
Well, coming up, President Trump is considering some military action in Syria, but now the Russians are warning against it, and they voted at the Security Council. Let's not check it. Nothing to check out with the gas attack. So we're going to talk with ABC News correspondent Tom Rivers overseas. He's really plugged in, really knows what he's doing. We'll talk to Tom coming up next. Plus, chance of $1,000 at 7:05 here on 710 WOR. Now, at Southern State Parkway continues to be a problem. Here is Bernie Vider with traffic.
710 WOR.
Good morning, everybody. Nothing yet. No bombs away in Syria, but let's go right to ABC News correspondent Tom Rivers over in London, I believe, to get the latest on what's brewing with Trump in Syria. Good morning, Tom.
Hey, good morning. Yeah, brewing. That's a good way of describing it. The toing and froing of sharing information. Emmanuel Macron in Paris talking last night on television saying he's been working with the U.S. and Britain trying to figure out exactly, nailing it down. They want some evidence out there. They want to make the right choice, because if they work on the wrong information, in the long term, it'll bite them in the backside. So they're working right now, and Macron says they've crossed the red line. They are building up their information, and we'll see what shakes out. He says we'll have a decision coming down in the next couple of days.
Wait a second, though, Tom. You say they're building up their information, collecting the evidence and whatnot. I thought they were all convinced, though, that Bashar al-Assad did, in fact, use chemical weapons on the Syrian people.
You listen closely to the rhetoric. The caveat here from Theresa May, we're getting ready, we're using the phone, we're talking to the president. If, and she always has used the word if we are convinced that, in fact, yes, chemical weapons were employed by the Assad regime. So, they're holding back right now. They're very, very close, but they're holding back, waiting for the final, if you will, nod. Some kind of information that says, yep, that is actually correct, and that is correct, and that's what they're going to do.
Tom, Syria is an important issue here. Barack Obama put a red line in the sand, which he didn't honor, and now Donald Trump has followed with his red line, and he actually attacked a year ago. Now, over where you are in London, do they draw red lines? Is this as big an issue over there as it seems to be here?
You know, it's a fairly big issue for Macron. Because France said exactly what you just rolled out, saying that something should have been done in the past, certainly maybe last year when there was a, you know, remember the cruise attacks on the one base, but didn't have a very strong import as far as how the direction of what happened in Syria. Maybe less so here in the UK, an embattled prime minister who's got a whole host of problems, Brexit, you name it, the poisoning case here as well. But she wants to be good pals with the U.S., so she wants to fall into line. The others on the European continent, they're kind of less, if you will, willing to say, yeah, let's really do something. I guess a German frigate is going to be eventually heading into the Mediterranean, so you know, we're seeing those kinds of things, which are more for show than anything else. But, of course, you look at the map of Syria. It's all controlled basically now, for the most part, 95% of it by Syria. So any kind of a punitive strike at this stage of the game is not going to turn that around. Assad, in all intents and purposes, has won already. It's like 18-1 at the bottom of the ninth.
Yeah.
Why are you going to shoot all your cruises now? You should have done that a few years ago if you were going to.
We're on with Tom Rivers, ABC News. He's based in London. Tom, there's been no hint over here about what action they might take. Is anything seeping out over there from Macron or May about what they could possibly do?
Yeah, well, Macron says he wants to go after, he calls them chemical weapons stockpiles. If he has any information on that front, that's where he would like to go. There's also been, you know, we've seen in the past, sometimes they go after control and command centers, et cetera, et cetera. Interesting part of a dynamic is Russia. And we have a former retired general, of course, who's now on the Defense Affairs Committee in the lower house of the Russian parliament, Vladimir Shimonov. And he's saying, look, if you're going to have a more extensive attack than you did a year ago, he says, guess what? There are Russian military advisors up and down the country, and you harm them, he says, we could certainly retaliate. And he's talking in terms of U.S. naval assets, aircraft, and he underlines that warning. He says Washington and the allies in Europe know that we can back up this warning. So be on account that if you do something, be prepared for the fight if that's where you want to go.
All right. Well, geez, it sounds like a hot war could be brewing between Europe, America, and the Russians. All right. Tom Rivers, ABC News correspondent in London. Thanks a lot, Tom.
Take care.
All right. Bye-bye. And now let's go to the 6:30 news with Joe Bartlett.
Okay, Michael. Police have identified the woman whose torso and limbs turned up in a Brooklyn park earlier this week. Authorities say the torso and the limbs belong to 26-year-old Brandy Odom from Brooklyn. She was reported missing a few months ago. The identity came a day after more body parts turned up in Canarsie Park yesterday afternoon.
Was Michael serious? Did one of the officials say foul play was suspected? Is that what they said?
Actually, early on, what they said was officials are still trying to determine what happened and whether foul play was involved.
Gee, I don't know. I'm going to go out of the limb here.
No. Don't use the word limb. That's a little inappropriate for what's coming
they're
discovering there in Canarsie Park.
Limb. Oh, my goodness.
Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg admits they didn't do enough to protect user information. Cambridge Analytica used the data of 87 million users to target voters on behalf of the Trump campaign, and Zuckerberg talked about it on Capitol Hill yesterday.
When we heard back from Cambridge Analytica that they had told us that they weren't using the data and had deleted it, we considered it a closed case. In retrospect, that was clearly a mistake. We shouldn't have taken their word for it, and we've updated our policies and how we're going to operate the company to make sure that we don't make that mistake again.
If you like that five-hour show, we've got another one for you today.
They have commercials?
5 hours.
Is there an intermission? Do they have a bathroom break?
Not enough questions, so we're going to have to do it again.
Can you imagine he's got to put on a suit and tie yet again? Another. He hasn't been in a suit and tie since his bar mitzvah.
Do you think he'll have a second one? Or did he say what?
I would hope he could afford to. All right. By the way, he says he's committed to getting this thing right. A lobbyist and friend of Mayor de Blasio paying $40,000 as part of an ethics settlement. This after a watchdog report found that James Capolino's donations to the mayor's One New York campaign opened up doors for him. As for the mayor,
every decision I make in government and my team makes is on the merits. And all of this has been looked at very, very carefully. And what we did was appropriate. So there's really nothing new to add.
Nothing new to add. Our news brought to you by Gary Goldberg Financial Services. Schedule a free consultation by visiting ggfs.com. And the next time you order a steak at a restaurant, it will be a little bit more rare than you're expecting. The Post says chefs are under pressure to reduce throwaways. That happens if they overcook a steak, so they are now purposely undercooking everything, knowing it can be salvaged by cooking it.
Well, that's a great story.
Good strategy.
That's a great story by Steve Kuzo in the New York Post. I saw that. We're going to be talking about that later.
Because
I have noticed the steak comes in and it's purple and chewy and disgusting.
But that's a great plan, because if they overcook it, they're screwed. If they undercook it, all right, we'll heat it up a little for you.
That's right. Yeah,
all right.
thank very you. Very clever.
Thank you, Wolfgang Puck, Joe Bartlett. We appreciate that. So Len goes to bed thinking the Mets had lost, but no, they won. They're off to the best start in their history. Can they keep it going? We'll talk about that next. Plus, why is Jerry Blevins thinking the bullpen is a little weird? Your chance at $1,000 is coming up at 7:05 on 710 WOR. And now let's go to Bernie Biter with traffic.
Thanks. On 710 WOR.
You know, good morning, everyone. Welcome. It's 6:41. I was already going to start attacking my co-host, Michael Reed.
Why?
Supposed to have your co-host back, and you gave me up in a heartbeat saying, Len thought the Mets were going to lose because he went to sleep and they were trailing. Yeah, I thought when they fell behind that the odds were that maybe they would lose one. Every so often, you got to lose a game.
They fell behind and you fell asleep.
Well, it's basically 4-3, Miami in the fifth. I said, all right, so, DeGrom doesn't have it. And then, Miami went up 6-4 going to the eighth inning. So I was gone by that point. But here's what happened at 6-4 with Miami leading in the eighth.
Oh, and won the count. Now the pitch. Fastball hit to left field. That's deep. Back goes Dietrich onto the track in front of the fence. It's gone. A home run for Wilmer Flores.
All right. So that brought it to within 6-5. And then two batters later, as Drubal Cabrera sauntered up to the plate.
3-0 pitch. Fastball hit deep to right field. Back goes Lee, and there she goes. Upper deck home run as Drubal Cabrera has tied the game 6-6, his second home run of the night. And these Mets have been as resilient, at least to this very early point in this season, frankly, as any Mets club that we've seen.
Well, that's high praise from Howie. Yeah.
Put it in the book.
No, that's well, not yet.
Oh, not yet.
Because that only tied it. Stop getting ahead of yourself.
Well, I know what
you
happened.
You don't put it in the book.
I didn't go to bed. I didn't fall asleep during the game.
Well, did you watch the whole thing?
No, I was at a birthday party.
Okay, fine. Happy birthday to your friend. So, was someone famous, probably?
No, it was somebody rich.
It's either rich or famous. The only people that Riedel hangs around with. All right, so then it goes to the top of the ninth inning, and Yoenis Cespedes, who at that point had been 0-4, comes up with a couple of men on.
Ziegler sets, checks the runners. Here's the pitch. Swing and a bouncer towards third. Behind the bag, past Anderson. Under his glove, down the left field line. Mets take the lead. Rosario scores. Here's Conforto coming around third. The throw to the plate from Dietrich, not in time. Going all the way to third is Cespedes. Two-run score. The Mets are leading by a score of 8-6.
Howie sounded excited there.
He did. He didn't expect it either.
Yeah. Well, now,
Can we put it in the book now?
Well, let's see.
Okay. 1-0 pitch to Anderson. Swinging a ground ball to short. In a couple of steps, Rosario. He backhands, throws. Put it in the books.
Yeah, we can. Well, put it in the books. You see, I know the lingo.
That's 7 in a row.
I know the baseball lingo now.
8 in a row tonight. And
What's your feeling about tonight, Len?
Zach Wheeler is going to pitch, and I have a good feeling about it. He was sent to the minors. They brought him up just for this game, and I have a good feeling about that. Hey, and they're going for the sweep and a perfect road trip, and they'll come home 10-1, which would be remarkable. This is 9-1 is their best start ever. By the way, Jerry Blevins, the relief pitcher, he shows up every Tuesday night to talk to Pete McCarthy with Mets on Deck, and he usually has something fairly unique to say. Here's Jerry Blevins from last night.
We're a bunch of weirdos out in the bullpen. You've got personalities across the spectrum. So there's no one particular set, but it definitely helps if you bring a positive attitude.
And be weird.
Weirdness is a plus, but you don't have to be.
It's not mandatory, huh?
It's not mandatory.
Everybody's
weird because normal's boring. You know that.
Well, to be a relief pitcher, and he's a lefty too. Lefty pitchers are known to be a little wacky, but you can get the inside scoop from Jerry Blevins, and that's a weekly segment with Pete McCarthy every Tuesday at 6:10 in the evening on Mets on Deck on 710WR and on 710WOR.com. Now, you asked me...
Yeah, hey, what happened to our pal Brandon
Newman? I know, you had asked me the other day, and I said there's a little bit of a logjam because Conforto is clearly going to be the center fielder.
Right.
And that leaves Lagares and Nimmo, and Lagares is a strong defender, and I had a sneaking suspicion. Anyway, the Mets wanted to bring up an extra relief pitcher because the bullpen had been pretty stressed out, so they brought up Corey Oswalt. And that meant Brandon Nimmo was the odd man out. But listen, he wasn't sent down because he did anything wrong. I mean, right. He's playing terrific. He's got a great attitude. We've had him on the show.
Yeah, yeah.
Everyone likes him. He's going to find a spot. But it's a numbers game. That's what it is in baseball. Purely a numbers game with Nimmo.
Well, he took it gentlemanly.
He did. Took it well because he's a good guy. And coming up at 9:40 this morning, Josh Lewin, who works alongside Howie Rose here on 17WR, will be our special guest. So we're looking forward to that.
More insights into the Mets.
Yeah. You can mention the Yankees here. They got trounced in Boston 14-1. And Aaron Boone, their manager, the team's now under 500. And it's not the start that a lot of Yankee fans expected. But things will get better.
John Carlos striking out again.
Two more times, yeah.
Wow.
Coming up, Mark Zuckerberg facing questions about that data breach at Facebook. But you have to ask yourself, did the senators embarrass themselves with their questions?
Yes, they have no clue
says
what's going
yes.
on.
And your next chance of $1,000 coming up at 7:05 here on 710WOR. But right now, let's check out Bernie Vider with traffic.
Good morning, everybody. Now, Len and I were just talking about the Mets off to a sizzling start, but we neglected to mention the most important thing, 7:30, your chance to win Len's personal pair of tickets to the Mets.
Yeah, we'll have you call in. Actually, it's for a Mets-Nationals game in 6 days on the 17th. So, good game. You'll get my personal tickets. And at 8:30, we have the Turning Point contest. So, this is your Mets station for Mets tickets. And right now, they and the Boston Red Sox are the hottest two teams in baseball, both 9-1.
Who doesn't want to go to a Mets game? So, all right. I watched the riveting testimony of Mark Zuckerberg there in Capitol Hill yesterday in front of those Jurassic Park senators.
It was half the Senate. They had two committees. They had the Commerce and Judicial. It added up to almost half the Senate was there.
I know. And
did everyone get to speak?
Of course, they always get to speak.
Everyone?
The point of these hearings, Len, is for the senators to grandstand and to get themselves on television. The problem is the really old ones there, like Chuck Grassley, who, as I said earlier, uses the tin can phone line still. These guys look so out of touch. They have no clue what social media is. There's a great moment where Orrin Hatch asks Zuckerberger this question.
How do you sustain a business model in which users don't pay for your service?
Senator, we run ads.
You know, that was the best 3 seconds in radio. Listen to this. Go one in Mississippi, two in Mississippi after the question is asked while Zuckerberg is thinking to himself, is this moron really asking this? Just listen one more time.
How do you sustain a business model in which users don't pay for your service?
One in Mississippi, two in Mississippi.
Senator, we run ads.
And by the way, Senator, most homes now have colored television sets.
Oh, boy.
These guys are so out of touch. It's hilarious. Zuckerberg, though, did pretty well, I thought. And, you know, the judge ultimately are the shareholders, and the stock market and Facebook stock soared yesterday on the strength, I think, of Zuckerberg's testimony. Now, the pitfall, though, here, Len, is, and I believe it was Lindsey Graham who brought this up, the word monopoly. That has got to strike fear in the hearts of Facebookers everywhere.
Who's your biggest competitor?
Senator, we have a lot of competitors.
Well, who's your biggest?
I think the categories of... Do you want just one? I'm not sure I can give one, but can I give a bunch?
Mm-hmm.
So there are three categories that I would focus on. One are the other tech platforms, so Google, Apple, Amazon, Microsoft. We overlap with them in different ways.
Do they provide the same service you provide?
In different ways, different
parts
of it, yes.
Let me put it this way. If I buy a Ford and it doesn't work well and I don't like it, I can buy a Chevy. If I'm upset with Facebook, what's the equivalent product that I can go sign up for?
Well, it's not a bad question. MySpace? I don't know. What's the answer?
No, MySpace is gone. But, you know, why? Why? So everyone say, oh, well, Facebook's got this monopoly. Well, it's got the monopoly because it's the best. because lots of people want to use it.
Yeah.
And now what are you going to do? You're going to regulate it? How are you going to create another company that does what Facebook does? Eventually, somebody probably will. But why are you going to knock down Facebook? People find it convenient to use.
Well, there are obviously some things they'll try to, you know, the privacy issue is huge and sharing of data is huge, so that kind of stuff. But Lindsey Graham, well, there was this mention of Twitter, as you said.
The average American uses 8 different apps to communicate with their friends and stay in touch with people, ranging from texting apps to email.
Which is the same service you provide?
Well, we provide a number of different services.
Is Twitter the same as what you do?
It overlaps with a portion of what we do.
You don't think you have a monopoly?
It certainly doesn't feel like that to me.
Okay.
Is Twitter the same as what you do?
I know, but you're making fun of Graham, but that's a fair question. Don't you think you have a monopoly?
He does have a monopoly.
Yeah. I mean, that's not a terrible question.
So, Len, then what is the solution? He has a monopoly because he
is a good product.
Because he's created a product that everybody wants to use.
No, you're right.
So what are you supposed to do? Break it up? You think the government should go charging now and saying Facebook must be broken up because of monopoly?
But they can't just be taking your data and giving the third parties who then supposedly. I mean, the question was asked, is this stuff that Cambridge Analytica mined, is this data now residing in Russia? And Zuckerberg said, I don't know. I'll have to go check. So
you know how much data was harvested during Barack Obama's campaigns? And everybody thought, oh, my God, Obama had that technology team. They are so smart. They're using Facebook to their advantage. This is great. This is terrific. They're miles ahead of the competition. Now that the data is used by the Trump campaign, suddenly, oh, my God, Facebook is a force for evil.
Did I mention the Trump campaign? And you were so predictable. You were always out of the right wing.
I'm not always out of the right wing.
What about Obama?
No.
What about Hillary?
Nobody was complaining.
Come up with new material.
Nobody was complaining about Facebook, Len, when the Democrats were using it to their advantage. And now, all of a sudden, it's evil because Trump campaign used some of the data. And now we've got to break it up, and it's a dangerous thing. And
no one said break it up.
And I
guarantee calm down over there.
The people who are using Facebook, I don't really think most people care too much about the privacy. They're posting the most intimate pictures of their lives on
Facebook.
And
their kids and their babies. And come on, really? You really want to post all that?
All right. Well, Zuckerberg's going up before Congress again, and we'll see how he does this time around in a Jurassic Park. All right. Is President Trump getting ready to fire Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein?
Stein.
Rod Rosenstein.
Yep.
And does he have the power to do it? We'll find out. Plus your chance at $1,000 coming up after the 7 o'clock news.
$1,000. Now, text the keyword BANK to 200-200. You'll get a text confirming entry plus iHeartRadio info. Standard data and message rates apply. That's BANK to 200-200.
710 WOR.
This is
Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning
on 710 WOR.
Good morning, everybody. If you're just waking up, Trump has been, he's been up for a long time now, and the fingers are all over the cell phone, and he is tweeting up a storm, and it looks like he is going after the Russians.
He is. He's going after a lot of people, these tweets. Good morning, Michael Riedel.
Good morning, Len.
What's doing? Everything good with you?
Everything's fine. I was at a birthday party for a good friend last night at a very fancy private club in New York called The Brook, which I think is one of the few remaining clubs in New York that still does not allow women members.
Well, good for them.
Oh, Len, there you go.
Where is the... I haven't heard of this Brook. Where is this club?
It's on the Upper East Side, East 54th
Snooty.
Street.
Yes, they have cigar smoke in there and scotch.
Yes, it's that kind of a place. And also, they have these old portraits of these 19th century guys up on the walls. They all look like Martin Van Buren. And I said, these are the board of directors. These guys, this place is a throwback to another era. But I must say, there were lovely women at the party celebrating my friend's birthday.
Oh, they let him in?
Yes, they let him in. They can come as guests, but they can't join. It's an all-male club.
Well, that's the way it should be.
Hey, well, there's an all-female club that we talked about, too, that is fighting to keep its right to keep the men out as members. So
no, that's wrong.
You hypocrite. Got a lot going on this morning. Mueller is still in his place, in his job, but Trump now is threatening to fire Ron Rosenstein. Yeah. I got this one right. So that's brewing. And Syria, looks to me, based on Trump's tweets coming out, that if you're in Syria, and you're with Bashar al-Assad, you better get into the dugout because the bombs are coming. Yeah. What's the latest on the tweeting front there, Lynn?
Well, he's tweeted a bunch of stuff. First, he's railing against the claim. It must be a Fox News story. He's railing against the claim that there's some kind of chaos in the White House because he tweeted so much fake news about what's going on at the White House. Very calm and calculated. A big focus on open and fair trade with China. The coming North Korea meeting. And of course, the vicious gas attack in Syria. Feels great to have Bolton and Larry Kay on board. That's Kudlow.
Yeah,
so it feels great. They're doing things that nobody thought possible, despite the never-ending and corrupt Russia investigation, which takes tremendous time and focus. No collusion or obstruction other than I fight back. Which is interesting, because that could be...
Although he's being counseled to back off on the threats against Mueller.
By firing Comey, as I fight back, that could be obstruction if you want to be technical. And so now they do the unthinkable and they raid a lawyer's office for information. He goes, bad. But here's the tweet. It's important because when the history of the world is written, it's going to be tweets like this that are going to single him out as being...
A great president.
Or unique. Let's be fair, just say unique. Let's not take sides. He says, Russia vows to shoot down any and all missiles fired at Syria. Get ready, Russia, because they will be coming nice and new and smart. You shouldn't be partners with a gas-killing animal who kills his people and enjoys it.
Do you have any objection to what he said? Do you think the Russians should be propping up Assad based on the despot, the horrible human being he is? Have you seen the pictures of those poor kids who've been gassed, who've been subjected to chemical weapons?
Well, you could say the same thing about Iran. No, my question is, why don't you deliver this message privately? It might have some more force. I think
he's rattling the cages.
Well, when you just put out a public tweet like this, if you're going to threaten war with a public tweet, really? That's what we've come to in this country?
He does everything on Twitter.
Okay, fine.
Get used to it.
Okay.
He's warning the Russians, look,
fine.
You better step aside because we got to punish this guy for using chemical weapons. So just step away. Let us drop our bombs. We know we can't take Assad down. He's entrenched there. He's got 90% of the country. He basically won that civil war with the help of Iran and with the Russians. We're not going to dislodge him. But you have to punish dictators who use chemical weapons. If you don't, then all the dictators are going to be free to use chemical weapons against their people, Lynn.
He also tweeted earlier about the failing New York Times and a phony story about a Ukrainian businessman. He says the guy wasn't a businessman, but blah, blah, blah. Anyway.
The Times is thundering in its editorial today. The law is coming, Mr. Trump.
They're coming to get him.
That's right.
But
they're not coming to get him, Len, it seems, on Russian collusion, because we haven't seen any evidence of that yet. They're coming to get him because he had an affair with a porn star and a Playboy model, and his lawyer may have paid him off to keep quiet, and it could be a violation of campaign finance laws, and that's the reason we should bring down the president, and that's the law that's coming to get him.
I will tell you what his tweets do, and they do change the subject, because yesterday everyone seemed to be wondering, does the president have the right to fire the special counselor, Bob Mueller? And
he doesn't, technically. He's got to find someone in the Justice Department to fire him.
Sarah Huckabee Sanders worded it this way.
Do you believe he has the power to fire Special Counsel Robert Mueller? Does he believe that's within his power?
Certainly believes he has the power to do so.
He believes he has the power to do so.
Yes, he's wrong. Well, we know what happens. You go back to Watergate. Nixon wanted to fire the special counsel, and he had to get people in the Justice Department to do it, and he had to fire a bunch of them, leading to the Saturday massacre before it got to them. So he doesn't have the power.
Did you watch the Sarah Huckabee Sanders news briefing yesterday?
I missed that.
No, I did.
Yeah, oh, yes. Oh, yeah, I know how fond you are of her.
I always like to listen to see how many times she'll say, look, and then go on and say, well, look. Anyway, just a little thing. So April Ryan gets up. You know who she is.
Yeah, yeah.
Urban Black Radio. And she had, I thought this was, Sarah Huckabee Sanders didn't like this question. Tell me what you think.
With all of this turmoil, particularly this last week, has the president at any time thought about stepping down?
No, and I think that's an absolutely ridiculous question.
That is a ridiculous question.
April, we're moving on. Jordan, go ahead.
It's not ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. It is ridiculous.
I don't know where that came from.
April, you April Fool. That's what I'm going to call her.
Just tickled
me. Is the president thinking of stepping down?
Yeah, I'm sure that's forefront.
What a waste of a White House press credential. It should be revoked. Get rid of that way.
I don't think it's ever entered his mind for one millisecond.
Sarah, don't call on this woman ever again. We got to round out the big three here, Len. Mark Zuckerberg was in Capitol Hill testifying before a bunch of senators who apparently are totally clueless as to social media. And I love this exchange between him and Orrin Hatch.
How do you sustain a business model in which users don't pay for your service?
Senator, we run ads.
Senator, have you heard of commercial television or AM radio? You don't pay for those.
I know.
We've got ads. What a scoop.
Orrin Hatch, he's still delivering messages via Western Union, I think. These guys are out of touch.
That was funny.
I thought Zuckerberg handled himself
He did pretty well.
He did well, and it shows the stock soared on the strength of his testimony, and I was got to go before them again. The current concern here, though, is Lindsey Graham, who brought it up about a monopoly.
Well, yeah, that was the big question.
The average American uses 8 different apps to communicate with their friends and stay in touch with people, ranging from texting apps to email.
Which is the same service you provide.
Well, we provide a number of different
things. Lindsey Graham has no idea what an app is.
Is what you do?
It overlaps with a portion of what we do.
You don't think you have a monopoly?
It certainly doesn't feel like that to me.
Okay.
He was well rehearsed.
He was
He didn't.
But you get the sense that Lindsey Graham has no idea what an app is. He's like, okay. I don't know what he's talking about.
A lot of these people don't. Yeah.
Get to monopoly. But
you
that
would
is the,
think. I mean, he got briefed. Why don't they brief the senators as to what the stuff is all about?
Well, you know, it's like briefing. Try to be briefed on calculus. All right. If your mind can't wrap itself around it, and these guys just can't wrap itself around social media, they have no idea what's going on. So, but the monopoly is the issue because let's face it, Facebook is dominant. It is dominant in social media. It did once upon a time have competition. Remember something called MySpace.com? That's totally gone because Facebook was better.
Yeah.
So if you win the game, what are you supposed to do? Be broken up by the government?
Yeah. I think if they want to go after certain aspects, and of course the whole idea of data and who gets it and privacy, those are legitimate issues. But I don't really just they're a monopoly. That's a reason to go after them.
The way capitalism works, Len, let me explain it to you.
Yeah, please do.
Is that Facebook will be dominant for a while, and the next generation of Mark Zuckerbergs will come along and they'll develop something that's leaner, meaner, easier to use, and Facebook will become an old fashioned company that has competition now.
Hey, Blaine is filling in for Natalie today. Natalie's still a little under the weather. Blaine, what did that caller say just a few moments ago?
He thinks that President Trump is trying to start his own Trump book instead of like Facebook.
What did you think?
He's going to the Trump book so you can just, you know,
bypass Facebook.
You can just go right by it.
And well, he's bypassed the Trump has bypassed the mainstream media by going to Twitter. So there you are. And also rounding out the big three, Mayor Bill de Blasio and his lobbyists. A lot of money seem to go into places that de Blasio claims he has no knowledge of.
Right. So he says this has all been figured out and everything is on the level.
Every decision I make in government and my team makes is on the merits. And all of this has been looked at very, very carefully. And what we did was appropriate. So there's really nothing new to add.
Nothing new?
Nothing
to see here.
Well, he was investigated, and he got away from it. But more details are emerging. Good editorial in the New York Post, sort of questioning exactly what's going on. All the mayor's men pointing out that a lot of money did make its way to de Blasio's campaign for One New York, and they say these lobbyists are going to be in trouble, but how come the mayor is not accountable for this? So I don't think this is going away. I really don't.
I don't either.
All right. We're going to get more into the mayor when we come back. He is facing questions with his lobbyists and with all of this money. We'll tell you what he's saying, which is basically, well, nothing there to see.
It's all legit.
We're going to dig into it and see just where that money is coming from and where it went. Plus, your chance at $1,000 is coming up at 8:05 on 710 WOR. And now let's go to Bernie Vider and check in on the traffic.
WOR.
Oh, welcome back. It's 7:25 on a Wednesday. The sun is out. That's that bright yellow thing you see. There
sun,
you go.
The sun has got his hat on. Hip, 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 hooray.
Begging for sun. It's going to get in the 50s today, 70s, maybe nice. Close to 80 on Saturday in the city.
Maybe I'll go for a jog today instead of my usual swim.
Who cares? So anyway, you got an email. You can email us directly at our website, 710WOR.com/Len and Michael. Matt emailed us, and we were talking about Zuckerberg, and you were saying Zuckerberg came off well.
Yeah.
And Matt said, what are you talking about, Riedel? He was scared blank when Cruz and Durbin hammered him, stammering, gulping. Hello? That's what he said. Well,
play the Durbin.
Here's a little thing with Durbin, yeah.
Would you be comfortable sharing with us the name of the hotel you stayed in last night?
No.
If you've messaged anybody this week, would you share with us the names of the people you've messaged?
Senator, no, I would probably not choose to do that publicly here.
I think that may be what this is all about.
Is that what it's all about?
Well, you know, he didn't want to reveal where he stayed because he's cheap, so he stayed at La Quinta. The La Quinta Hotel in D.C. Yes.
I would highly doubt that.
Is that La Quinta?
Trump's been on a Twitter tear. The scariest one, of course, is threatening Russia on Twitter today. Tom and Whitestone, you wanted to weigh in, Tom? Good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you today?
Good morning, Tom.
I'm just had a curious thought about what's going on with Trump. I think it's Republicans and Democrats both trying to teach people, please don't come on our field. This is our field, and you are not allowed to play on it.
Ah, so you're saying that basically the career politicians don't want an outsider like Trump moving in to disrupt the business as usual in politics.
Absolutely. I think this is a ridiculous thing that's going on. And with all of the corruption within them, and those guys have a, 9% rating, and they're telling everybody else, oh, I'm sorry, but Trump's got a very bad rating. He's very low.
Well, you're right. Congress does have the lowest popularity ratings anywhere. All right. Thanks, Todd. Thanks for listening. So de Blasio says, I don't remember a secret meeting with a lobbyist. And this comes as a result of two donors agree to pay fines to settle an investigation into lobbying violations. But the mayor says, nope. Nothing to see here. Everything's fine.
Every decision I make in government and my team makes is on the merits. And all of this has been looked at very, very carefully. And what we did was appropriate. So there's really nothing new to add.
Well, the settlements that the lobbyists are now paying are tied to what the Post calls his honor's defunct slush fund, the Campaign for One New York. But the mayor is right. This was looked into and he got a pass on this one.
Everything we did around Campaign for One New York was focused on achieving pre-K for all our kids and achieving affordable housing for people who needed it. From the very beginning, sought the guidance of the Conflict Interest Board and followed through on that guidance, sought constant legal guidance, followed through on it.
Why does de Blasio always sound like he's either getting ready for a nap or just getting up from a nap?
Well, at least he addressed the issue. Sometimes he says, stay on point, you know, because he wasn't there to give a news conference about this. This is the NYCHA deal. With the head of NYCHA stepping down.
Ask it in whatever dramatic tone you want. When I am lobbied by a lobbyist, I disclose it. City lobbyist lobbying me on any matter, I disclose it. I've made very clear in recent times I don't talk to city lobbyists at all about their clients anymore.
Yeah, but there's a charge. There's a charge now in the New York Times editorial that said de Blasio held a kitchen cabinet breakfast with some donors and lobbyists, but he kept it off his schedule. He didn't report on it. Now, he just said, when I meet with lobbyists, I disclose it. But according to the Post, that little kitchen cabinet breakfast was not on the schedule.
Well, the Daily News headline, de Blasio claims he can't remember a secret meeting with a lobbyist.
Everything has been put out there previously, and everything's been handled appropriately. That's all there is to it.
All right, nothing to see here, Riedel.
There's nothing there. There's nothing there.
This is going to continue to hound them.
I think so, too.
This story isn't going away. All right, here you go. Your chance to win my personal seats. See the Mets and Nationals April 17th at Citi Field. Be caller number 14 right now. 800-321-0710. You'll be the winner. Purchase tickets. MS.com/tickets. And to get the latest news headlines at 7:30, here's News Director Joe Bartlett. Good morning, Joe.
Hello, Len. President Trump issuing a warning to Russia this morning ahead of a possible military strike on Syria. Now, Russia has vowed to shoot down any missiles that are fired. Trump tweeting this morning, "Get ready, Russia, because they will be coming nice and new and smart." According to political analyst Rick Klein, it feels like Trump now here is being challenged.
Clearly, he feels like he needs to respond. It also puts him on a collision course with Vladimir Putin himself because of the Russian support for the Syrian regime. So there's never good options here. But I think the widespread assumption in Washington is that we're going to see some kind of a military reaction from the U.S. side in the coming days.
Okay, with that kind of talk, the Dow futures are down 300 points this morning.
Well, I mean, do you threaten war on Twitter? I'm just asking.
He's warning the Russians to get out of the way.
That's right, on Twitter.
Doing, Len.
What about picking up the red phone?
But you know what?
Red phone.
This is his strategy. Just put it out there. Never know what I'm going to do.
Yeah. Keep him off balance, Len.
Never know
that's
what
he
I'm going to do.
Shiny and new and smart.
By the way, I know
smart bombs.
I've got a nickel, shiny and new. What? I'm sorry.
You are so infatuated with Stormy Daniels.
I'm not. You guys keep saying that. It's a bum rap. I never brought her up.
Oh, you bring her up all the time. But anyway.
That's right.
A new poll from Quinnipiac.
Oh, yes, here we go.
Oh, don't tell me the numbers. Just tell me what the question was.
Does the American public think the story about Stormy Daniels is important?
I'd say 20% said yes.
23%.
Ah!
Yeah.
See, I have my finger on the pulse.
Well, you're on the wrong side of that one, though.
59. I'm not. You got. Weedle brings her up constantly.
Berman and Gallup over here.
51% of Democrats don't think the story is important. 51% of Democrats.
Don't think it's important.
Where does that put you, Len? A whopping 9.
I don't. When have I ever said it was important?
90% of Republicans.
Well, there's a shock. Yeah. And 100% of Fox viewers.
102% of Fox viewers don't think it's important.
Right. Rally going to be held at City Hall this morning calling for half-price Metro cards for low-income New Yorkers. The mayor says the city can't afford, though, the $200 million annual cost for this. Where's the money going to come from?
Millionaires.
Where? Millionaires.
Millionaires tax. That's the answer to everything.
I think the millionaires tax is the best one, but there are several others on the table. I think that's how you should fund the fare as well, with one of those bigger funding mechanisms.
Fat cats.
He is so predictable.
The fat cats.
Our news brought to you by Gary Goldberg Financial Services. Schedule free consultation by visiting ggfs.com. Real quickly, Mark Zuckerberg going back to Capitol Hill and apparently needed a little boost yesterday.
What, pictures 5 hour energy?
No, pictures taken from the side shows
sitting on a phone book?
A booster seat.
He was sitting on a booster seat?
He was, yes.
A booster seat. He's 5'7", so he needed a little lift
there. Booster. And
a
little apron on, too, so he didn't spill his goober food out.
The interesting
suit.
Thing, the booster seat was the same color as the chair. They're kind of hoping that it was just kind of
nobody would notice.
Aha! I wonder if somebody liked it. On Facebook, the booster seats.
Thanks, Joey. Yep. Coming up, we'll mention the winner of the Mets tickets. Also, this was really something. It was the other night. It really touched me. I'm telling you, I'm not making this up. It was very emotional. A late night comedian story about the birth of his baby. Wait till you hear this one. It's just unbelievable. Plus, your next chance at $1,000 coming up at 8:05 here on 710 WOR. How about some traffic with Bernie Viter?
Live from Tribeca,
this is Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning
on 710 WOR.
Good morning, everybody. We're going to lighten the load here with a little entertainment news. Bombs could be falling in Syria. Some pretty serious stuff shaping up.
Yeah.
We're laughing about Trump's tweets.
Well,
this is
a tough tweet when he says, Russia vows to shoot down any and all missiles at Syria. Get ready, Russia, because they will be coming nice and new and smart. You shouldn't be partners with a gas-killing animal who kills his people and enjoys it. So a very tough tweet from the president within the hour.
Yeah, so we could be having
a
little war on our hands. But let's cheer ourselves up with, actually, it's got to be the sweetest story we've heard in a long time. So Seth Meyers was on his TV show last night and talking about his wife who has given birth.
Right.
But she didn't get to the hospital in time.
Yeah. Didn't make it to the church on time.
No.
I watched it. He actually did on the show on Monday night show into early Tuesday. So I watched it yesterday afternoon. Yeah. And I'm grabbing for the tissues going, he told quite a story. They come down the elevator and call Uber.
Yep.
And
because the wife is, she's about to give birth. Yeah. You know, time, now's the time. Now's the time.
Well, the baby starts to come out in the lobby before they ever get to Uber. By the way, I'll cut to the punchline, which was very funny. He said, everyone was great. The police were great. The fire, everyone was great, except Uber charged them.
No.
Yeah, he said. Anyway, this was a little bit. It's not going to do justice. We have a few clips from Seth Meyers. He must have gone on about the story for about 10 minutes the other night.
My wife is saying the baby is coming. The baby is out.
It's true. He said that he called 911 and he said, my wife, the baby's out.
Never mind. I got to call the school to see if I can get him into pre-K.
And I looked at my wife, and the only way I can describe how my wife looked was she looked like someone who was hiding a baby in a pair of sweatpants.
You said it looked like someone hiding a baby getting on an airplane. It's just it's a cute. Baby. It's a baby coming
it's
out.
It's cute.
This is how fast it happened. I called 911, and over the course of a minute conversation, I basically said, we're about to have a baby. We're having a baby. We had a baby.
That was fast.
It was a great. It was really terrific. So, and he really praised the people. The story was just so funny. I mean, it was.
I think we've got pictures of the cute little kid up at our website, 710WOR.com/LennandMichael, WOR.com/LennandMichael. You can see the adorable addition to the Seth
and his
Meyers
name is?
Family. I don't know. What's his name?
Axel. He said it could have been Hose because of the firefighters who came and helped.
That's right.
Turned out to be Axel, and it's his second son. But
could have been Uber because he had to pay the bill.
Well, he told it so well. It was really a nice story. Congratulations, Mr. and Mrs. Meyers.
Indeed. Now, are you a big James Bond fan, as I am, Len?
I'm probably not as big as you, but I've seen most of the James Bond movies. They're good. You know, they're fun. Entertaining, obviously.
Well, the new one is going to be called Bond 25, apparently. Daniel Craig
You meaning it's the 25th Bond movie?
Yeah. Okay. Bond 25.
We're not going to call it Bond 25.
Well, no. He said his next film will be Bond 25. That's what he said the other night.
That will not be the
fancy
title.
Gala here. Well, we got to change it to something a little more Bondish than Bond 25, but it could be Bond 25. The question is who's going to direct it, because Sam Mendes has directed the last few Bonds, Spectre, some of the big ones. He's not doing it anymore. The word on the street is that Danny Boyle, who did Trainspotting, is going to direct it. That's been reported in a number of papers. But Daniel Craig is not giving up the secret. He was tight-lipped the other night when a reporter from Page Six asked him who's going to be directing the next Bond movie.
Is a pussy galore in this one?
Ah, ha, 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 yes. Well, I got to tell you, though, I am not a big Daniel Craig Bond fan. I think he's too broody.
I think he's good.
He's too serious. There's not enough humor there. I mean, I'm a Roger Moore guy. I know that's sacrilegious to say because everybody loves
Sean
Connery.
Just makes you old.
Yeah. Sean Connery makes you really old.
He
makes you really old.
Come on. Sean Connery was shaken, not stirred.
I like Roger Moore's lightness of touch and insouciant humor. That's what I like. And then, finally, in the entertainment news, this is a bizarre one. This guy, T.J. Miller from Silicon Valley, he's on Amtrak. He's bombed. He's drinking, right?
Yeah.
Knocks back some scotch and wine, starts flirting with a woman who's having none of it. And what does he do? He calls 911 and says she's got a bomb in her bag, triggering a police response and whatnot. Now, this guy's been arrested. He's facing charges. He's 5 years up to jail or something
that.
He's in serious trouble, this idiot.
The massive police response to his 911 call caused hours of delays.
That's
ridiculous. That's an idiot.
The allegation is also that he was thrown off Silicon Valley because of concerns about drug and alcohol. He apparently turned up for work inebriated. He denies it, but that kid is in a lot of trouble, I think. So, President Trump is firing Len on all cylinders and tweeting up a storm, ready to strike at Syria, get rid of his deputy attorney general. Lots of stuff going on at the White House. We're going to check in when we get back with ABC News White House correspondent Karen Travers. Plus, your next chance at $1,000 is coming up at 8:05 on 710 WOR. You never have to miss Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning. Stay connected and listen anywhere with the free iHeartRadio app. Your favorite stations plus unlimited streaming music available now in the iHeartRadio app and at iHeartRadio.com. And now let's go to Bernie Viter and traffic.
Welcome back, everyone. It's 7:54. I want to mention that Gary Bonfante of Staten Island won my personal Mets seats at 7:30. And coming up at 8:30, more Mets tickets with our Turning Point contest. Let's go right to the White House. Karen Travers, the ABC News White House correspondent. And Karen, we're all set to talk about six other things. And then, of course, the president has a call to arms on Twitter within the hour. Let me read the tweet for our listeners who might not know. The president tweeted, Russia vows to shoot down any and all missiles fired at Syria. Get ready, Russia, because they will be coming nice and new and smart. You shouldn't be partners with a gas-killing animal who kills his people and enjoys it. That's some tweet, Karen.
Yeah, it's and you know, it's interesting. There's a lot to take apart in that tweet. I mean, first of all, just that really tough message for Russia when we haven't seen that. When it comes to other issues with Russia, something that Republicans on the Hill have wanted to see more from the president. And also the fact that the president is certainly signaling what's coming. You know, he says missiles will be coming to Syria, nice and new and smart. This is a president who repeatedly over the last few years has said you should not telegraph your military moves and criticized President Obama for that. But as we know, all options are on the table, according to the White House. They're not detailing publicly what the president is considering, but we are told that the military strike options range from light to medium to heavy, the whole gamut there. And one option is striking at the Assad regime's command and control areas for the Syrian military. Another could be striking where the regime houses what the U.S. says are chemical weapons.
How about striking Bashar al-Assad himself?
That's not something that we've been told is under discussion. Mm. Now, it isn't. That's just not something we have reporting on.
Now, the Russians say, hey, if you strike at Syria, we've got planes in there, so watch out. But I got to think, Karen, I mean, there's some back channel conversations going on where the United States can say to Russia, look, just get everything out of the way. We got to punish this guy for using chemical weapons. We're coming. Get your planes out of the way. Does this kind of diplomacy go on behind the scenes?
It does. There's no indication that's happening right now. The Russian Foreign Ministry responded to the president's tweets just a few moments ago, saying that smart rockets ought to fly toward terrorists and not at a lawful government, so meaning the Assad regime there. Another strong back-and-forth statement here. This is complicated. I mean, there's a lot of factors going into this decision by the administration of what they're going to do. Certainly, it seems to be taken with a bit more of a deliberate, slower approach than what we saw last April when the president launched that missile attack on Syria, Syrian airbase. 59 Tomahawk missiles came very quickly after that chemical attack. We're still in that rough time frame, rough window of how he responded last year, but there seems to be a much more thoughtful, deliberative process going on this time around.
We're on the air with Karen Travers, ABC News White House correspondent. Karen, the other big story floating around your neck of the woods is Bob Mueller. So yes or no, does the president have the legal authority to fire Bob Mueller?
Depends on who you ask.
Exactly.
You in Washington. I mean, if you ask everybody in Washington, it is that no, he does not. The DOJ regulations state very clearly that the special counsel can, quote, be removed from office only by the personal action of the attorney general. Of course, Sessions, the attorney general, has recused himself from all of this. So that would be the deputy, Rod Rosenstein, somebody the president has very publicly criticized. But the White House yesterday and repeatedly has said the president believes he has the power to do this. Why does he think that? Well, they say Justice Department officials have said that.
Karen, are Republicans still warning the president if he does something like that, he could precipitate a constitutional crisis? Or as Lindsey Graham said, it could be the beginning of the end of the presidency?
Yeah, no, they're still saying that. You had Chuck Grassley, a Republican, say yesterday it would be suicide for the president to fire Robert Mueller. Mitch McConnell, a bit more of a muted statement, but said that Mueller should not be removed from this position. He should be allowed to finish the job. I think there was a quote from Chris Christie yesterday on Good Morning America that's worth, you know, tucking in the back of your head. He's an ally of the president. He's a former federal prosecutor. He says he's told the president, do not fire Robert Mueller. He says the president cannot make this Russia probe any shorter, but he could certainly take actions that would make it longer.
All right. As always, thanks for your input. Karen Travers, ABC News White House correspondent. Thanks, Karen.
I have a feeling it's going to be a busy day there for you, Karen.
It really is. And here's some of what she was alluding to with Mitch McConnell.
Well, it's still my view that Mueller should be allowed to finish his job. I think that's the view of most
people in Congress. I haven't seen clear indication yet that we needed to pass something to keep him from being removed, because I don't think that's going to happen.
Well, the Democrats, Schumer, they're talking about passing some kind of...
That'll protect Mueller from Trump's wrath or some nonsense like that. But not going to happen.
On we go. More controversy at the Bill Cosby sex assault trial. And what's going to happen next? Will we go after Syria? Will the president go after Mueller? What's the next move? Which is first? Plus, your next chance to win $1,000 is coming up right after the 8 o'clock news.